Now, we are talking about the good news of the grace of God. The good news of what? The grace of God. And you know, last Sunday, we ended what we were sharing by encouraging us that God does not want us to live in spiritual squalor, in dirty, spiritual dirty environment, because those environments have evil in them. Just like you don't want your kids to go and get soiled, you know, crawling on that, you don't want that to happen. Because if they eat with those dirty hands, they'll get sick. They get things you don't want happening to them. They start vomiting. They start having cramps. They start having all manner of virus and bacteria in their lives. So God doesn't want us to live in spiritual squalor. He doesn't want us to live in spiritual dirty environment. Amen? So he wants us to come out of those things, because evil produces evil in your life. Evil is evil because it produces evil in your life. It affects you directly. It degrades your life. They say you go from grace to grass. Anywhere evil comes in, any nation where evil comes in, that nation is totally degraded. Many countries today, people are suffering because of evil that has come into the nation. They call it corruption. But corruption is what corrupts. It corrupts, it makes nonsense of what is good. So corruption comes into any nation. That nation, the people there suffer greatly. There is deprivation. There is all manner of evil going on. There is crime. Crime. Total crime at the level that you can't believe. So it degrades a complete nation. If it comes into a company, that company will fold up pretty soon. Do you know why a lot of these big corporations suffer? Because they start practicing evil. Pretty soon the company what? Comes down. I heard about one great British company, they call it Great Indian something company. That was the greatest company that was ever formed by man. It was in India, formed by the British. There hasn't been another company after that like that. That company was reputed to be richer than the British government. And it was, you know, when you begin to trade in people, they were taking spices and things from Indians who knew nothing and selling it in Britain at great profit. So they had power, they had everything. They were doing so well until corruption came into that. The executives started living in immorality and they started maltreating people. That company started going down until it stopped existing. That's a fact. So what bacteria does to the body, evil will do to you, due to your circumstance. There's no doubt about it. And so the scripture says, tells us that righteousness will exalt what? A nation. But what will evil do to a nation? It will degrade it. You see, this America where we are living, we say America is developed. Do you know there are counties that are underdeveloped because of corruption? There are counties today, they are so degraded, you will not believe it's part of America because the officials are so corrupt. So that's what the scripture is telling us. That's what God is saying. Don't let this corruption come into your life. Don't let it come into your life. Don't partake in it, because it's going to affect you. It's going to degrade your life. It's going to reduce you. Like they rightly say, they say you go from grace to what? Grass. Do you know, brethren, that it has made presidents lose their position? It has brought the president from an exalted position of president to shame, to jail. It can break your home, ruin your career. Come and talk to me, is that right? Destroy your career. Destroy your health. Completely take your health and ruin it. Get you infected with something you didn't dream of. I heard of a pilot that took his blood for test, and they told him he had AIDS. He said, no, that blood is my blood. It's not, I didn't get it. They say, yes, pilot, we know there's AIDS there. No, he said, no, you don't understand. It's me. I'm the pilot. They said, we know, pilot. But this blood has what? AIDS. The man thought because he's a pilot, his blood can't have it. Real story. You can't talk of people who drunk. I read about a man that was well employed, earning a lot of money, but living on the streets now because of alcohol. See how alcohol degraded his life. How do you feel when somebody is telling lies? His profile before your eyes does what? Goes down. Immediately. You don't have to wait. The profile goes down. Husbands and wives, let me tell you, don't play hanky-panky with your spouse. Because if you start that kind of game, you are putting a coffin, nailing, on your marriage. And while I'm at it, the couples forum yesterday, and I would plead with them to repeat it. And I would beg you to come here. I'm pleading with you to come here. Don't stay away. Come here. Come for this one. After this one, you can decide not to come. But come for this. Because what they taught yesterday was that's the clincher of the thing that ruins marriages and keeps many people miserable. So I'm pleading with you to come. What will it cost you? Nothing. All it costs you is get into a vehicle and what? Drive here and sit down and see what is happening. So God knows that, and God keeps telling us, get out from these things. Get out of these things. These things will ruin your life. It's not God doing it. It's simply that evil is what? Evil. It takes away your boldness. Your boldness goes through the window. You can't stand before God, neither can you stand before the devil. You live in fear. Once they talk about something near what you are doing, your heart begins to palpitate. Your prayer is affected. And if you don't have boldness, you can't operate Christianity very well. Because you need boldness to stand in faith. I'm telling you. And I'm not even talking about how it blinds your eyes. You walk in darkness. It affects your ability to discern the word of God, to discern the truth. It affects your spiritual eyes, seriously. Very seriously. Like I was saying on Thursday, again, you people should listen to that Thursday teaching. I'm saying that a lot of Christians sit in churches who are carnally minded, they don't know anything. And they don't even have the ability to know it. So if you are talking to them things like this, you are pouring water on what? Stone. The Paul wrote to them, he said, you people are like that. And he said, you don't even have plans to change. First John 2:11 says, but he that hates his brother is in darkness. What is that person? In darkness, and walketh where? In darkness, and doesn't even know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded him. Do you know there are a lot of Christians who walk in these things and they are comfortable in it simply because their spiritual eye is blind? It's blind. Have you ever tried to drive with your eyes closed? Now tell me, how can you live your life when God says your spiritual eye has been what? Blind. Tell me how you can make a success of that life. You'll be wrecking the thing left, right, and center. And the worst is that you don't even know what you do to yourself. Look at another one here. 1 Peter 5:5. In the same way, you younger men must accept the authority of the elders. Can we agree on this? Do we agree on this? Then how many of you accept the authority of the ushers? Let's talk. It's easier said than done. Humility, if you want to measure how humble you are, ask yourself how easily you accept instruction and how easily you accept your fault. Simple question. How easily do I accept what? Instruction. And how easily, did you see the Bible said that wisdom from above is easily entreated? That's humility. Then how easily do I accept my fault? Instead of sitting there and arguing to make myself look good, even though I'm looking bad. So he says, but in the same way, you younger men must, it didn't say may, it's a must thing. Must accept the authority of the elders, and all of you serve each other in humility. Why? Come on, why? God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. But if God is opposing you, you are in a bad shape. And if God says, this is what I do, that's what he does. Because God will tell a lie. You are in a very bad shape. You see why God says, don't do stuff like this. Because you are going to put yourself in terrible disadvantage and you are going to struggle through life. Instead of flourishing, you are going to be struggling. Look at another one here. Ephesians 4:27. For anger gives a foothold to what? I didn't hear you. To what? And anything that will give a foothold to the devil in your life is something you don't want. Because the devil is a killer. It's a dangerous spirit. Then 1 Peter 3:10. For the scripture says, if you want to enjoy life, the scripture says, if you want to what? How many of us want to enjoy life? This is what God is saying to me and to you this morning. If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days. Number one, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Because the book of James said you can't have good water and then bad water coming from the same mouth. He said you can't. It's not going to happen. You see why God is telling us all of this? So that we don't frustrate ourselves. So we don't walk in frustration. So we don't degrade our lives. And then the advantage we have as Christians will not show. It won't show. It won't show at all. The Bible says you live like mermaid instead of spiritually born again people. Proverbs 14:34. Proverbs what? 34. All right, taking you a while. Godliness makes a nation great. Just wanted us to read it. Godliness makes a nation what? Great. So godliness will make you great. But sin is a disgrace to any people. Let's read it together. It's up there. I want to go. Let's go. Godliness makes a nation great. But sin is a disgrace to what? Any people or anybody. 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 Godliness will make you great, but sin will bring disgrace. And then you know how the scripture is awesome. See how it describes these things that I'm talking to you about. It calls it going to the mud, living in the mud. It says, don't even know where I've lost this one. I think it must be the same face, Peter. It must be the same face, Peter. That's talking about, you know, when you talk, let me see. Yep, 2 Peter 2:22. 2 Peter 2:22. They prove the truth of this proverb. See how it describes a Christian going back to these things. Look at how it describes it. They prove the truth of this proverb. A dog returns to his what? Vomit. He said, that's vomit. It's like going to the vomit you have. That's what, I mean, this is God talking. So God says, filthy, don't go there. It will harm you. And then it says, and another says, a washed pig returns to what? To the mud. You see how filthy God looks at this. And God says, don't get into the mud, my friend. Stop licking your vomit. Stop licking your what? Vomit. It will harm you. It will hurt you. That's how we ended last Sunday. Am I right? Just a reminder. All in favor, say aye. Now, let's go and talk of today. What we have for today. Today, we are talking about the gospel. Today, we are talking about the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The cross. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say something before I continue. I want you to listen to me. The knowledge of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Please listen to me. Listen to me very well. The knowledge of what Christ accomplished on the cross for you. The understanding of it will bring you into experiential knowledge of it too. The knowledge of what Jesus accomplished what? On the cross for you. The understanding of it. That's knowing Jesus. The understanding of it is what will bring you into the experience of what Jesus did on the cross. If you don't have the knowledge of it, if you are ignorant of it, you will not experience it. I don't care how much you pray. Because Jesus said, if you know the truth, then the truth start working. The knowledge, it's all this thing that the Bible is talking about. You must know Jesus. This is knowing Christ crucified. This is knowing Jesus. And I said it on Thursday, that the body of Christ has not taught the people about Jesus. And because of that, people are ignorant. And because they are ignorant of those things, they are not experiencing them. And Christianity is not relevant to them. That's why you push them to come to Bible studies. Push them to read the Bible. Because they think it's an obligation. They don't know that that's life-saving something. That's what you do to keep your life safe. Keep yourself going. Because they don't see how it works. They have been given 40 days fast, 20-something days dry. All manner of punishment being given to them. The same punishment that Jesus took on the cross. They were being loaded on human beings. And their neck is carrying boxes. Pastor Fashorati called me. He said, Pastor, do you know, there's a woman that used to be in our church. He said, he moved to another church. And now she died in the camp. Because she went to the camp and said that God must change her circumstance. If she will stay there and pray and fast until God changes it. She died. They carried her home. A corpse. Some people put this burden on people. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you are hypocrites. He said, you lay burdens on people. They say, if you come to me, give me your burden, for my burden is light. I don't put no burden on you. I'm the one that carries your burden. You carry nothing. Enter into my rest. The church is not teaching what Jesus told us to teach. And that's why many Christians don't know what the gospel is all about. We are pushing them to preach the gospel. What do they know they're preaching? They don't even understand it. The next thing they will teach you, are you born in water, near the water or something? Deliverance. Let me say it again, and you better listen to me. The knowledge, very important. There is nothing else God did to help you except the cross. Jesus is, without Jesus, nothing. Nothing. Absolutely zero. In Christ, God put everything you need. Everything in life is coming through him. He is the conduit through which all these things come to us. On the cross, God finished the job for you. If you don't know it, and you are not interested in knowing it, live your life as mere human being now. Are you be passing? There's something, you will see the answer. You will walk in the light, because those truths is the light. Those truths are the light. They understand. The Lord spoke to me on my seat. He said, teach them how the cross is relevant to them. They will experience it and see my power. Because the gospel is what, when you believe in the power of God, is released to make it real in your life. That's how Paul realized that my life changed, not because of what I'm doing. He said it was at the cross that I died to the world. He realized what God did where? At the cross. It's not what Paul did. He said it was at this cross that I was crucified to the world, and the world was what? Crucified to me. We separated ways right there. It was because he knew, he understood, he believed, and he was working for him. Can I hear amen? Amen. I'm telling you, church, you better listen to me. 10 commandments is not renewing your mind. I was telling a Sunday school class, I said, do you know, 10 commandments does not produce long suffering. Neither does it produce mercy. And God says, go and learn what this thing means. I desire mercy. I know what sacrifice. I say it doesn't produce it. It's what the Holy Spirit produces. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. But it is done in Christ Jesus. Can I hear MMA? Amen. If you want to see the power of God, the Bible says the gospel is the what? Power of God at work, at work, at work, at work, at work, at work. 24, at work in those that believe. He said this gospel is the power of God. Christ is the power of God. That if you understand it and you believe it, the Spirit of God unleashes on you the fulfillment of that thing. In real life, you see right there. The Holy Spirit is waiting, watching over the world to perform it. Perform it. So, there's an experience that I want us to just look at and see what Peter really preached. Because I got so excited that I started studying what the apostles preached. I have a whole note on it. What did they really preach that God was confirming with signs and wonders that the church today is not seeing? What did they have two heads and four heads? What did they tell the people? Man, I got very interested and I started studying it. And I'm going, are you serious? Are you really serious? You know what they preached? Christ crucified. Oh, praise the Lord. Paul said, I preach nothing except Christ what? He said, I don't even want to know anything among you except Christ crucified. So, Cornelius was a Roman captain. He was in charge of a regiment of Italian soldiers. Because at that time, Israel was under occupation. So he was in charge of a regiment of Roman soldiers at that time. And this man really wanted to know God. And he got to praying. He was a very kind man, was doing all that stuff. Very, very wonderful man. And one day, an angel showed up. And the man was rattled. The man went, whoa, oh, ho, ho, ho. And the angel said, you know why I came? He said, no. He said, well, you see, your prayer and your almsgiving is okay. God's sin is wonderful. But that won't bring you much from God. There is something you need to hear. Cornelius, this is not enough. It won't unleash the blessing on you. Peter has what to tell you that will open heaven for you. Can somebody say amen? He says, send to Joppa and send for Peter. He has a message you need to hear. So that heaven will what? Open. Oh, this is good. Wonderful. Say, God has seen it. It's awesome. God's not saying it's good. It's not good. No, no. But your goodness cannot open heaven for you. Because all have what? Seen. So he said, send to Joppa and bring Peter. And then let's see what happens from verse 9, Acts chapter 10 from verse 9. It's an interesting story. Very interesting story from verse 9. So the next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about noon. Are you following what I'm reading? What verse is that? Okay, 9. All right, thank you. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, now he has sent them now to go and call Peter. So now, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. It was about what time? Noon. That's 12 noon. Okay? And he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He fell into a trance. I thought on these things some time ago. You know, discerning of the spirit, what it means. He saw the sky open, and something like a large seat was let down by its four corners. Verse 12, quickly. In the seat were all sorts of what? Animals, reptiles, birds. Man, if it's you, all manner of animals, including rattlesnake. And then, verse 12, then a voice said to him, Get up, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, whoa, 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 hold it. Then Peter said, no, Lord, and he knew it was the Lord. He said, no, Lord. Peter declared, I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws, I want you to note that, please. It's so critical. Our laws condemn these things. Our Jewish laws have declared what? Impure and unclean. And that was, okay. So now, but the voice spoke again and said, do not call something unclean if God has made it what? Clean. Oh, this is the point that God is making here. God said, the law declares it unclean, but I declare it clean because of Jesus now. The law declares, and I get the law. I get the law. So I'm the only one who can change it. Peter said, yes, our Jewish law says these things are what? Unclean. And God says, if I call anything clean, don't you dare call it what? Unclean. And God, this thing happened three times. But the voice spoke again. Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. And you too have no right to call yourself unclean if God has made you clean. You don't have the right to do that. That's violating the New Testament. He said, our law calls it unclean, unfit, ineligible. Uneligible, right? Ineligible. What does it mean to be ineligible? Eh? Not qualified. Our law cancels, said, hey, you don't have anything to do with this stuff. It's unclean. God said, no, not when I call it clean. Your law can say anything. But this is a new dispensation. Where I'm not calling the new shot. It is clean. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are we done with that? All right. So, verse 16 said, the same vision was repeated three times for emphasis. For emphasis, verse 16. How many times? Three times. For emphasis. Then the sheet was suddenly put off. God said, I made my point now. Now, let me show us something. 1 Peter 2:10. Once you had no what? Identity. Once you were called nothing. Unclean. You were ineligible. All of us. Once you had no identity as a people. Now you are what? God's people. If you belong, say amen. Amen. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. Let's look at another one. Ephesians 2:19. So now, you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. I thought you'd be excited about that. He said, because now you Gentiles are no longer what? Strangers and foreigners. You are now what? Citizens, along with all God's holy people, you are now members of God's family. Somebody shout. Peter said, our law said this is unclean. God said, no. Not when I made them clean. I made them clean by the blood of Jesus. You must know. You must understand. You know, when Jesus was talking, he said, when you sow the seed, if there is no understanding, say, the devil will come and pick it. I won't bear fruit at all. Understanding is key. And it's not understanding with your natural senses. You can read these things and not have revelation about it. I still be walking like mammy. You can read them all you want to. Even preach it. I preach things that when finally I began to understand them years later and I'm going, whoa, is that what I was saying? But people thought I understood it. That was saying it. He said, you were not a people before. You were unclean. You didn't belong. You were foreigners. You had no right to God's blessing. You didn't have even mercy. He said, but now you are clean. You belong. You are no more what? Strangers. You are now members of what? House. How much right does a member of the household have? Come on. How much right? Let me tell you about, you see all these my boys that are big now. Let me tell you about them. Don't ever let them hear. You can't believe that there was a time when they were small. They would sleep in their room. Once it rains and thunder comes, what we hear is all of them will run from their room and they'll dive straight on our bed. They didn't even care whether we're lying there. Once they're talking their bed, they say into that bed, they sleep off. Once you hear thunder, because we're living on the sixth floor. So once you hear the next thing you hear is all of the small legs like running one after the other, straight onto our bed. Bam, this one will jump, this one will jump. They will all jump, and once they jump onto that bed, they are home. They sleep off. Thunder or they are not safe. Brethren, do you know that we have run into the home and we are lying on God's bed? We are home. We are members of his household. Somebody shout hallelujah. How much right do your members of your household have to all the blessings in the house? All of it. So the first thing that the gospel is showing us is that every human being is eligible for divine blessings if he believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Every human being is eligible. Whether you're a Jew or what? A Gentile. You are totally eligible. It doesn't count out everybody because the blood of Jesus was shed for the whole world. But you have to accept it. You have to accept it. So, you don't have to think yourself as impure any longer. You don't have to think of yourself as unclean any longer. For whom the blood has washed, is clean and is pure. Church, can I hear amen? So when they arrived at Cornelius' house, Peter came. This story continues. Let's see what Peter said. Verse 24. Verse what? It's not 20. It's 24. Verse 24. Praise the Lord. So let's see what Peter said. They arrived now in Caesarea the following day. So Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his... You people have not received message there too. Verse 24, I've not finished reading it now. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his what? What is kinsmen? Old English for family members. He called his kinsmen and near friends. 25 now. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down where? At his feet and stopped there. Present the anointed men of God. That would be wonderful. You know, he has the... After an angel told you to send for him. He must be somebody special. So now you come and man of God. He said, my daughter, bless you, bless you, bless you. You too, bless you, bless you, bless you, and bless you. Let me tell you something. I've said it here before, and I want you to clean your ears and hear me. If God uses something to bless you, if you start worshiping that thing, it will produce death. I'm not kidding you. God doesn't change. If God uses something to bless you, and you start bowing down to that thing will produce what? Death. It will produce life. God said to Moses, hey, tell Israel, to look up to that snake. If they look up to that snake, they will be healed. And they were healed, right? And after they were healed, they say, wow, we found the answer in the snake. So they kept it and started now worshiping it. And they started dying. And then the king took the thing and crushed it into pieces. If God uses anything to bless you, God gives you money to bless you, and you start worshiping that money, it turns into death. If God gives you a position, and then you think you have arrived, and you now start worshiping that position, watch it. It will produce death. If God uses somebody to bless you, and now you start worshiping that person, watch that thing. It's going to produce destruction. Did you hear what I'm saying? That's by the way. So now verse 26. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped in 26. But Peter pulled him up and said, stand up. I'm a human being just like you. We are the same. We are the same. Is it because an angel sent for me? I'm like you. I'm just the same thing like you. We are saved by grace. What's all this? Get up. Don't worship me. The same thing. It's not different between you, and it's going to play into the first point of the gospel that Peter made. So stand up, I'm human being just like you, 20. So they talked together and went inside. You know, Peter took him by the, come, Doc. You know, it's like, Doc was, I said, no, 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 stand up, I'm the same thing with you now. And so they started chatting like friends. You see what Peter has done? We are the same. So they started chatting like friends and now went into the house. Amazing. Can I hear amen? So they walked together and went inside where many others were assembled. Peter told them, you know it is against our law. Peter brought up the law again. He said, you people are not qualified. They are not eligible. You know you are not what? Eligible for God's blessing. So you know that. You know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me one thing. That I should no longer, praise the Lord. I should what? No longer, brethren, learn it. I should no longer call any man what? Come on. And you don't have a right to call yourself that. You go to pray and you call yourself, come on, you call yourself unclean. God says, no, I have made you clean. You can come. You can come. I've made you clean. You can come. If I call you clean, you are. And the devil said, no, you are not clean. Say the devil, shut up. The blood of Jesus has made me clean. Amen. He said, God has taught me that. Can we learn that today? Can that lesson be? That's part of what you should learn that Jesus did on the cross. That his blood has washed us what? Clean. Don't ever call yourself uncommon. And don't call yourself unclean. Because that's not what the gospel said. Peter said, I've learned it. God has taught me this. Never in my life again. Never. Never. Everybody say never.
Never.
I didn't hear you. Come on, shout never.
Never.
I want it louder. Come on, shout never.
Never.
Because this is what kills your boldness. It kills your boldness to receive. And this is what makes you do all those several days of penance. Because you want to become worthy. And God says no. I already made you worthy. You don't have to make it. I already done that. So you can come as you are. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I said praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So never. Again. Don't let anybody, don't let any spirit, don't let anybody preach to you. God says, don't call him unclean if I have made him what? Clean. How many of us are clean now? If you are clean, shout amen.
Amen.
All right? So Peter said, God has taught me now that I should never call anybody that is has made clean unclean. What verse is that? 29. So now, since you are now, the Lord said I shouldn't come, but God said, no, he's clean enough. So 29. So I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for you. Now tell me why you sent for me. Then the man told him story how the angel came and then spoke to him. And then Peter started that thing again in verse 34. Peter began to preach to them the gospel. Peter began to preach to them what? The gospel. Verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly now that God come on. That God. Come on. That God. Which means everybody's eligible. That's what he's saying. Everybody is what? Eligible. Is it eligible or eligible?
Eligible.
You don't know. I don't know. So what's your problem? Tell me. Is that eligible? Eligible? He knows. Man, if I. Yeah. Eligible. So God is no respecter of senior pastor. Praise God for you. Junior pastor, praise God for you. Usher, praise God for you. Before God, all of us are eligible. Because the blood washed us clean. All of us. All of us. So if I can get it, how about you? You can get it. Now, if you know this, why do you come depend on me? Or depend calling people, take food and calling so-called useless, ignorant prophet? Why is your eligibility gone? Where is your eligibility gone, for God's sake? Who called you unclean? Why accept that judgment? If you are clean enough, if you're eligible enough, why do you call prophet in Ghana? I want to know. Is it not that you are rejecting the gospel of Jesus? Is it not that you are rejecting the gospel of the cross? Is it not you are calling the cross common, of no effect? I want to know how you can experience the benefit of that cross. You are your prophet. Is it not that you are calling the cross of no effect? Is it not you are looking down on the blood of Jesus? Is it not you are insulting the Holy Spirit of grace and saying what you did is what? I need a prophet in God. Is it not what we do? We reject the gospel and wonder why we are miserable. We reject the gospel. We reject the Son of God who paid the price and said, you are clean. You are clean. Come. You are clean. I made you clean. Come. Come. Say, no. No. You don't know me. I'm unclean. The law made me clean. He said, no. I have made you clean. The first thing you must know about the gospel is that we are all eligible. Because on the cross of Calvary, he shed that blood that washed us clean. Amen. If you reject this, you reject the cross. It won't work for you. I didn't say you are not saved, but it won't work for you. You'll be struggling in life. Your prayer will be all struggle, struggle and struggle, struggle and struggle. Because he said, don't come to me with evil conscience of unbelief. It won't work. Is anybody hearing me today? He said, come to me boldly. Because of the blood. Come to me boldly. Come to me with the heart of faith, with full assurance of faith that I have made you clean. That what I did, you know it, you believe it, you accept it. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I prayed about this. Me and my wife, we prayed about this service on Monday. And I prayed some more. And then this morning, I wanted to pray. And the Lord said to me, what are you doing? I said, I prayed for the service. He said, what of the one you prayed before? See, this is how you walk in unbelief and you see nothing. He said to me, do you know the key thing is to believe, have faith in my word? If you pray according to my will, I've hired you. You don't need this prayer no more. So why don't you simply thank me for what you know that I will do here? Instead of this lady just in here. Didn't the book of James said, he said, let not that man think he shall receive what? Anything from the Lord. Because he doubts God. You can't doubt that you're clean. You can't. No. God must teach you today. Never, never again, never. You don't have the right to look at yourself when you are in Christ Jesus. When he died for you and poured that blood on you, you are clean. I said you are clean. You are eligible. Amen. You don't have to do anything else because there is nothing else that you do that makes you eligible. It's just that blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And we need to honor that blood. We need to honor it. When you go to pray, remember it. Remember it. I can come boldly. I'm clean. Because of the testimony of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. And so Peter was saying, he said, I came. So now Peter in verse 34 said, I see clearly now that God shows no favoritism. In every nation he accepts those who fear him and do what? What? Yes, what is it that is right? He's talking about. If what he's referring to is all the goodness of Cornelius, then the angel shouldn't have sent for Peter. He would have said, Cornelius, you know you are just so good. God would now open heaven and pour his baptism on you. Nope. He's not referring to that, because that's not what brings it in. What's referring to is faith in Christ. If you honor God, if you really honor God, you believe the cross. Because the Bible says if you don't believe the testimony of God, you call him a liar. You are not honoring him. And the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to what? No, you can't please him when you don't believe the cross. You don't believe what he's saying. You don't. That's what we're talking about is you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believing in the cross. You believing in what he did. Isn't it strange that church will be teaching these things over and over? This is something that every member of the church will be familiar with. Because that's what we walk in every day. Praise the Lord. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Hey, church, this is the work of God. What is the work of God? That you believe on him whom he has sent. You say, I believe, but you don't believe you're clean. You say, Pastor, I believe in Jesus. I believe now you're clean. Believe you're worthy. Believe you're eligible. Believe in totality of it. Not one quarter. Verse 36. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel. That there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. That's verse 36. Why am I ahead of you? Verse 36. The same place I'm reading now. The same Acts chapter 10, verse 36. Did I call John? Because my father's senior brother is John. Acts 10, 34. Are you following the point I'm making? Please, I'm not hurrying this thing because I want it to dawn on us so we see where we're missing this thing. Acts 10, 36. This is the message of good news from the people of Israel that there is peace with God through who? Through who now? I'm reading 36. You put 34. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel that there is what? Peace with God through Jesus who is Lord of all. Brethren, this is the gospel. He's bringing the second point that God doesn't have, is not holding anything against you. There's now peace. You can come back to him. You can come anytime. God is not there frowning his face and say, if I catch you, I deal with you. He said there is peace. No more. Peace. He said, this is the message God has given to people. There's no peace. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. And all of this is a gift from God. All of this is what? Gift from God. All of this you don't work for God's sake, you don't work for them. It's a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Who brought you back? God did to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task now of condemning people. What? What? Giving us this task of what? Reconciling people. How do we reconcile them? Verse 18, 19. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and he's counting all their sins because he will finish them at the last day. Huh? What did he say? You know, I had one record. He was playing in my car this morning. He said, on the last day, you Christians, I'm telling you, he said, God will bring all the sins you committed. He said, they will read it. The book that is opened is where God has recorded what? All your sins. He said, the last day, they will read it. And I'm going, are you serious? What did the blood do? God says, in the new covenant, your sins and your iniquities are what? Remember, no more. No more. It's not going to be mentioned no more. It's obliterated. It doesn't exist. So see what God is saying. I'm not finished now. This is very critical. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people. Why? Because an atonement has been made for that sin. It's not working for them because they don't accept the atonement. The day they accept the atonement, their sins are wiped them. And it's God that brought them to himself. It's not what they did. It's the mercy of God. It's the compassion of God. It's the hand, it's the unfailing, the depth of his love for the man. Have you fallen in love before? I have, because I married a woman. Men, I would travel from Kaduna to Osaka every 2 weeks. That distance is not small. I'm rubber or not, I didn't know. I will arrive in the night, sometimes 9 p.m. You know what was driving me? This guy was in love. I would drive there, and then I look for my wife. Sometimes I see her by 9 p.m. after 9. If I see her, my joy will be full. Switch it to God. God will drive any distance to come to you. Any distance to come to you. God left heaven, came down here. And they asked, what are you doing here? I said, I'm searching for you. I'm seeking you. I want to save you. I came to deliver you. I will die for you. Come on, church. His hand brought you to him because of his unfailing love. Amen. Think of it. And God says, there's peace. My son, there's peace. No, there's peace. Come. Come and enjoy me. Come. You see the second point? There is now peace. So you don't have to tiptoe and say, is he going to look at me? If you think God is looking at you, you go back again. So maybe he will see that I'm not qualified. Then you go back and hide behind Pastor Chinedu. Pastor Chinedu, I talk to him. Pastor, why not? Ah, Pastor, you don't know what, you know why you're hiding behind me? You think he's mad at you. You don't believe the gospel. Because the day you believe the gospel, you develop boldness to come. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
You develop what? My children, when they come to me, they don't tiptoe. Especially the last one. My last one. He said, Dad, I said, yeah, I need a ride. That's it. No matter where I am, he's not asking, what are you doing there? Hey, Dad, I say, hey, baby, how are you? I need a ride, Dad. That's it. And believe you me, whatever I'm doing, I'm out. Because I must get my boy. I must get my boy. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
I need a ride. What gave him that odd boldness to say that? That's Dad. That's my papa. Now him born me. You are born of God.
Amen.
You are born of God.
Amen.
You can say, Dad. You say, yeah, I need a ride. Oh, and he will say, yeah.
Amen.
But who had believed our reports? So that the arm of the Lord, that's the point now. Isn't all religion we do? And we are not empowered. Why is God saying come? Because you don't have strength. The Bible says, why we are without what? So you are deprived of everything. You know you have nothing. He says, come, let me be your life, your strength. You are ever present help in time of what? Trouble. Let me be your all and all. Come and enjoy my blessings. Let me clean you and heal you. I can't stand you being oppressed. I cannot. My love will not let me watch you being oppressed. I must set you free. And he did. So, in verse 37, Peter brought this point out. Am I communicating to you? Peter brought this point out. He said, you don't understand. There is peace now, Cornelius. God is calling you to come. That's why he sent for me. That's why he had to send an angel. That you need to know there is peace. You need to know, even though you used to be condemned, you are no more, you can come. It's open now. Everybody is eligible. Come and believe the same thing I believed. Look at verse 37. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of baptism. 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing some. Did you know why he put the word all? Cornelius, this blessing is for you too. Healing all who were oppressed. That's setting people free. For God was with him. And we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and Jerusalem. So they put him to death by hanging him on the cross. He said, let me tell you what Jesus did. He healed all. Everybody. He didn't leave everybody. He went around healing all. All. Because he came to show everybody that God came to help you, came to heal you, and to deliver you, set you free. And on the cross, he set us free. On the cross, he gave us healing. Amen. Only 10 people are saying amen. Little wonder you're fighting with all these things. Because it's hard for you to believe. But that's true. That's the truth you must know. You must know that you are free. 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 You must know that you are what? Free. Look at, before I go further, let me read one scripture, then I go further, and then conclude this thing. Look at 1 Timothy 2:6. New Living Translation. 1 Timothy 2:6, please. What does it say? Let's read it together. He gave his life. You see what the cross purchased for us? He gave his life to purchase what? Freedom for how many people? Everyone. Brethren, it's for everyone. Why are you telling me you're bound? Didn't you read this? Why come here and telling me, Pastor, I'm bound by demons? Didn't you read this? Is he telling a lie? Are you not part of everyone? Why are you denying the cross and listening to the lie of the devil? Why do we deny Jesus and listen to the enemy that wants to kill us? Why? The Son of Man said, I purchased your freedom with my blood. He said, who has believed? But what is the church going around doing today? Everybody needs deliverance. What kind of gospel did you hear? The gospel that not bring you deliverance is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, if the Son of Man shall set you free, what does it mean to be free indeed? Totally free. Completely free. He said, I will deliver you to the uttermost. Nothing left. His salvation is not one quarter. It's complete salvation. That left nothing. You can't improve on it. No so-called anointed man can improve on it. It's done. It's what? As you are seated here, as you are looking at me here, this scripture is still true for you, that he paid and he set you free. Amen. Can I hear amen? Amen? He brought you healing. And brethren, do you know? It's amazing. I don't have time because my time is up. How he told him, verse 40. Verse 40. He was telling him that, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear. He was telling him that Jesus is alive today now. That he died, he rose up today. Verse 41. Not to the general public, but to us, that God revealed him, not to the general public, but to us whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after what? 42. And he ordered us to preach everywhere. It's an order. An order. He ordered the church to preach everywhere, and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be what? Judge of all and the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their what? Look up here. Let me tell you this. It's amazing. He said Jesus is alive. He said God raised him from the dead, and he is the judge. He is what? And that he ordered us as a judge to tell everybody that if you believe in me, your sins are I'm the judge. You are Caesar. I'm the judge. You are Caesar. He says he's the judge. He said, tell them you are Caesar. What? Forgive me. I'm the judge now. I set you free. So God made him judge of all, both the living. So in case you say, I'm not included, are you living? Yes, you are part of it. So as a judge, he said, he now ordered us. Somebody shout hallelujah. He gave an order, a judicial order, a legal order. He said, God declared to the whole world that if they believe in me, I am the judge now, that I'm canceling all their sins. Tell me another judge that can come and cancel what Jesus has pronounced on you. But we accept the deceit and lie of Satan. The judge himself. And we say he's the Lord of Lords. There's no greater judge than him. They said he's risen. He's not dead. But now he's the judge of all. He died as a lamb. Now he's the judge of all. And he's given an order from the divine high court of heaven. And say, go tell them that I said, if they believe in me, I'm the judge. Their sins are canceled. They can go home free. Amen. Go home what?
Free.
Come on, church. Go home what?
Free.
Go home what?
Free.
Have you been? I was in court once. In fact, I've been to court several times because of this church. We went with the city. We've been after seven times. The one we went, I thought I was doing the right thing. I didn't know I was finishing myself. Went there and gave them evidence against me. And the judge called me up. He said, come. He said, come, please. He said, let me see your evidence. I said, judge, I have it right here. So the city, the onus is on the city to prove that what I'm saying. I said, see the picture. I said, really? You are putting children up there? I said, yes, judge. Yeah, I didn't know that. I was not supposed to. He said, please go home. I'm being on vacation. When I come back, I'll pass judgment on this. All of you. I said, I came out. I told Stella, I said, I got them. I didn't know I was exposing myself to ignorance. Even when the judgment came, I didn't understand it. I finished myself there. But God is awesome. What we are supposed to pay, somebody paid it within me. So what I'm trying to say, have you ever had the ticket and you go there and the judge said you are not guilty? Go home. What do you do? You go to count and say, well, the judge said I'm not guilty, but you know the way I'm feeling. I'm not feeling like going home. Can I pay the... Is it not what Christians do? He said he's risen, he's alive, and he's the judge. And he declares you free, go home. And you go to the counter and say, I'm not going yet. If you know, if you don't know me, that's the point. I want to pay some here. What do I have to pay? And the devil say, you don't have to sleep for 9 hours, okay? Okay, I'm going to stay awake 9 hours. So after 9 hours, what else am I going to do? Do saraka, give things for to children. I want to ask you, please answer me. What will any of those things do about your sin? What of use, of what use is it? Absolutely. The judge has already pronounced you. I'm free, I don't know about you. My sins are forgiven. And you can't overrule Jesus. Not in my life. Not when I believe as the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And when Peter preached this in brethren, God unleashed his blessing. Immediately they believed this simple message. I'm telling you today, heaven opened and the Holy Spirit, all over the place. All over the place. God said, now you have believed this thing. You have accepted this thing. Wow, heaven opened. Cornelius, you couldn't get it before by your giving alms and things. You got it now because you believe in the Son of God. And heaven, whoa, opened on them. The Spirit of God came and they started speaking in tongues. And Peter said, whoa, 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 what's happening? These are Gentiles. They're not supposed to. But God has given. He said, why shouldn't we now baptize them? Seeing they have what we have. God is no respecter. And as you hear me now, the same Spirit of God will bring healing. We 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 bring healing. Even because you believe, there is freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom. I want the church to rise up. Rise up and worship him. I didn't believe them before. So, but I don't know what you had. I don't know what you understand. The judge has set you free. He said, go. Why are you going to the counter looking for what to pay? Why? They demand nothing from you. It's done on the cross. He set you free of all bondages. He healed you. He said, I paid with my blood to buy your freedom from every type of oppression. Whether it is demonic, whether it is physical, emotional, oppression is oppression. Who has believed the report of the Spirit of the living God? So that this morning, just like heaven opened on them, and the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Spirit, God opened heaven. This morning, God is tearing heaven open for you. Tearing heaven open for you, for God is no respecter of persons. He is no respecter of persons. You are the same candidate for what they got. The power of God is descending here upon those who believe it to confirm this word, to bring the blessings of heaven in reality, in manifestation for them. I don't know what you had, but you got to understand it. You got to believe it. You can't reject the gospel. You can't. That's the power of God unto salvation. That's what changed our circumstance, changed our life eternally. There is no Jew, there is no Gentile in this thing. For all are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Everybody here is eligible. Everybody here is eligible. I bring you that good news. The judge of heaven and earth commanded us to tell you that if you believe in him, your sins are forgiven.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.